chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Matthew 7, 21, again, Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, and he says this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." We're going to read one more verse in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 27. Once again, Jesus is speaking. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we have three passages this morning to begin. Three passages in the Word of God. Two of them where Jesus basically says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say?" And in that passage, he says, "In the coming day, many will say, but Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I do something for you? Didn't I serve you when I lived on earth?" And Jesus is going to respond by saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It wasn't a situation where Jesus said, "Well, I once knew who you were, but now I don't. Somewhere along the line, I stopped getting to know you and I don't know you anymore." It wasn't anything like that. Jesus says, "I never knew you. Even though you have served me, even though you have prophesied in my name, done miracles in my name, did things for me, yet I never knew you." And then Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You see, Jesus knows those that are his. And those that are his are people who hear the voice of God and listen to his voice. Do you hear his voice? Do you listen for his voice? This is a topic of the Lordship of Christ. And I want to specifically think about it for the individual. Is he Lord in your life and in my life? The Lordship of Christ for the individual. We could think about this topic for the church because he's Lord of the church. We could do that, but I don't want to do that this morning. I want to think of it in your life and my life. Is he Lord of your life? Are you listening to his voice? You say, "Well, why should I listen to his voice? We live in a wonderful country, a democracy, and in this country, you know, if there's something that I hear and I really am impressed by it, I'll listen to it. But if I'm not impressed by it, I will not listen to it. And I have that right and that freedom to do that. That's what democracy is all about. And we can do that. And oftentimes we approach life in that way. I hear something wise and I pay attention to it. I hear something that I don't think is wise or I don't like, and so I will choose to ignore it and not listen to it. Can you do that with the Lord Jesus? Do we have the right to say to the Lord, I like what you say when you say, if I believe on you, I can have eternal life, but I don't like it when you talk about taking up a cross and following me, and so I'll just ignore the things that I want to ignore, and I'll pay attention to the things that I do want to pay attention to. Do we have the right to do that? Are we listening to his voice? Are we obeying him? You know, in the Old Testament, there was a king of Egypt, Pharaoh. Moses came to Pharaoh, and he was the voice of God. God was speaking through Moses, and God said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses was the voice, carrying this message for God. And Pharaoh responded by saying, why should I do that? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? You know, that's a pretty fair question. You see, if the Lord, if Jesus was a prophet and only a prophet, or if he was a great man among great men, well, maybe he has some wise things to say, and maybe I should pay attention to them. But if he says something that I don't like, I can just simply ignore it. If he is just a man, then I don't necessarily have to listen to everything he says. But if he's God, if he's God incarnate, if he is the Son of God come down from heaven, do we have the right to say no to him, to ignore his voice? Once again, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, Pharaoh asked this question, and in one sense, we could say that God thought it was a fair question because he responds to his question. You want to know who the Lord is? The Lord will reveal himself, and he did so in 10 plagues that came upon the people of Egypt. And after about the fourth plague, the wise men of Egypt, the magicians and the wise philosophers and things, they came to Pharaoh and said, this is the finger of God. Our eyes are now open. Your eyes, Pharaoh, is open. You now know who the Lord is. This is the God of gods. He's greater than the gods of Egypt, and we have no choice but to listen to him. And you probably know the story that Pharaoh hardened his heart with his eyes wide open and refused to obey God's voice. Who is the Lord that I should listen to his voice? Why should I pay attention to him? Why should I carefully be reading his word and listening for what it is that he wants to say to me today and every day? Well, the reason is because of who he is. And Paul goes on to explain who the Lord is in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 when he says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That's who Jesus is. That's who the Lord is. The image of the invisible God. What does that mean? That means when you look at the Lord Jesus, you are looking at God. When you see his miracles, you are seeing the miracles that God wants to do. When you listen to the words of Jesus, you are listening to the very words of God. When you see his life, you are seeing the life of God. The invisible has become visible. And so, because he's more than a man, and because he's more than a prophet, because he is the Son of God, because he's God incarnate, we ought to be listening and obeying his voice. We don't really have that choice. It's troubling in a day and generation where it's no secret that believers are generally biblically illiterate. How can that be if we are listening to his voice? The only way we can listen to the voice of God is in the Word of God. And as a result, we need to be reading the Word of God and listening to the Word of God. It seems like I harp on this all the time because It is the most important thing that we can do. I have often shared that in my ministry I've learned many, many things. But the greatest thing that I have learned is the power of the Word of God to change my life and to change the lives of other people. We need to be listening to His Word and reading it. That's what a believer does. And yet there are many people who call themselves Christian, and yet they refuse or they don't bother to take the time to listen to God's voice in the Word of God. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. And he tells us more. He tells us that he's the firstborn over all creation. And what that means is not that Jesus was the first created being, but what it means is that all creation exists for one purpose, and that purpose is for him. This creation was designed for him. It was made for him. It's all for him. He was to receive joy and satisfaction from his creation. And you and I are part of his creation. And so it would follow, therefore, that we are to bring joy and satisfaction to Jesus Christ because we were created for him. And yet many of us know already that the Word of God teaches and experience in our own lives teaches that we have sinned against God. We have fallen short of God's glory. We have fallen short of His standard. We do not bring joy to the heart of God. And yet all of this creation was made for Him. That's the reason why we need salvation. Because if we ever are going to bring glory to God, it first begins by admitting that we are sinful and separated from God, lost, completely lost, unable to find our way back to God. And we cry out to Him. And what do we cry? Save me from my sins. That's what God wants to do. He wants to save me. He wants to save you. He wants to save us from our sins. That's the first step in bringing glory to God. Give Him glory by admitting your sinfulness, and give Him glory by admitting that you cannot get to heaven on your own, that you need a Savior, and admitting that Jesus Christ is the only one who could save you from your sins. So you come to Him. He's the right person to come to, because He not only died for sin, but He rose again. And He's been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so we are to listen to His voice. He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. He is seated at God's highest throne of the universe. A name above every name. He is great in this world and in this universe. And yet Paul tells us something more about this man in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, we read that this man of high stature, this man who sits on the highest throne of the universe, is a man who was found in appearance as a man, and humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the man who is Lord of all, the man who commands our attention and demands our allegiance, is also a man who humbled himself for you and for me? I find that to be a wonderful thing. He's not a tyrant. He's not a dictator. He's a servant. It's hard to even imagine how the two can be put in the same sentence. How can he be on the highest throne of the universe and yet also be a servant? And yet that's what the scriptures teach, that he is a servant of servants. He came to serve you and me. He came to pay our ransom, to save us from our sins. And you know, even though he is now on the highest throne of the universe, he is still serving you. And he is still serving me. That's the kind of man Jesus is. He is Lord of all. He is a servant. And he is in the image of, he is the image of the invisible God. And so, this is who Jesus is. And Jesus wants our allegiance. He wants us to listen to Him. He is not just Lord of the believer. He is also Lord of all. And when we think about the Lord Jesus, we are to recognize that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All creation was made for Him to bring glory to Him. All creation. And He is Lord over all. Isaiah chapter 45 speaks about this. In verse 22 of Isaiah 45, we read, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath." In Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah is speaking about the need for all the world to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, to the Lord. Isaiah is a book about salvation. And in this book, Isaiah in the Old Testament tells us that Jesus Christ, or the Lord God, is not just a Savior for the Jews. He's also a Savior for all the world. He's the judge, not just of Israel, but the judge of the whole earth. He is not just the Lord of Israel, but He is the Lord of the whole earth. And so He makes this proclamation, "Look to me and be saved. I am the only God. There is no else, no one else. If you want to be saved, you must look to Him. The whole earth. He is Lord over all." He goes on in Isaiah chapter 45, actually in the very beginning of that chapter, he speaks about Cyrus, a great king in that day. He calls Cyrus by name, and God's going to use Cyrus to accomplish His will in that generation, and yet Cyrus did not know the Lord. Isaiah 45 goes on to say, "But you, Israel, you are my people, and yet you will not listen to me. Why is it that a Gentile king will do my will, but you people, my own people, refuse to listen to me? Why is it that we have difficulty listening to the voice of God and obeying Him? Is He Lord of your life? Does He have control of you and your life? Are you listening to Him?" Isaiah tells us that God has made it very clear. The importance of the prophetic word is that He is the Lord over all and He is coming. And so in Isaiah 45, verse 19, God says, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place on the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, 'Seek me in vain.' I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save." And then he goes on to say, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And so God has made it very clear that this salvation that He offers to everyone is for all people everywhere, and we are to bow to the Lordship of Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. You can bow to Him today as Savior and Lord. You can come to Him today and say, "I want Him to be my Savior. I'm ready to follow Him. I'm ready to listen to His voice." You can have Him as Savior and Lord. Or you can wait, as many people will wait. Many people will continue in their rebellion against God, thinking that they can live life apart from God, and they will wait, but one day find out that He is Lord and admit it. And before they are sent to a lost eternity, separated from God forever, they will bow the knee and admit that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it's not a question of whether Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. The question is, Are you ready to listen to him? Is he Lord in your own life? This is also mentioned in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Paul is speaking in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. He says, but why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to God. So each of us shall give an account of himself to God. And so once again, we get this phrase, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. In this case, in Romans chapter 14, the context is at the end of the book of Romans, a practical section. Paul had just explained that we have been justified by faith. He has explained that we're in the process of being sanctified. He's changing our lives. And then he gets to this practical section, beginning in chapter 12, where we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And then he talks about the mind and how we need to have our minds renewed. And he gives us lots of other practical things. We get down to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, he tells us to remember that there's going to come a day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus and we're going to give an account of our lives to God. Each one of us will do that. I often shudder when I think about that. That the secret things in my life will be exposed in front of him. He already knows them. That my life will be in front of him and I will give an account for everything that I've said and everything that I have done and why I would not listen to him at times. I will give an account to God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess to God. And so we are reminded that he is Lord. As we live our lives as Christians, if you're here and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you're going to stand before him and bow the knee to him. But as a believer, we should be listening to his voice. It's one of the characteristics of a genuine believer. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. You know, it's very easy to do things for God. It's very easy to go about doing a quote-unquote Christian lifestyle. It's very easy to prophesy in his name, to do good things in his name, to serve him in his name, and yet never listen to his voice. It's possible that inside there's still a rebellion that goes on that says, I want to live life my way. I want to accomplish my own goals and purposes for my life. And I'm not interested in the Lord leading my life. Can you have that? Can you be a believer and choose whether you're going to listen to his voice or not? I need to make very clear that as believers, we struggle with sin. What that means is there are many times in my life when I close my ears and I say, I'm not listening, Lord. I'm determined to go in the wrong direction. I'm determined to go in the direction of sin. I've been tempted, I've been struggling, whatever it might be, and I'm going in that direction. You know, if I always listened to his voice, I would never sin. But we do sin. There are times when we don't want to hear his voice. Isn't it wonderful that our Savior is merciful and gracious and patient and kind, not a dictator, not a tyrant, not someone who will force us to believe to accept everything immediately or else we're lost and we go to a lost eternity. But he's changing us, and that's a slow process. And as he changes us more and more, we ought to be listening to his voice. That's what a believer does. That's what it means to follow the Lord. That's what it means when we cry out and say, save me from my sins. It's not just a ritual that I say so that I can get out of hell and I can go to heaven. It's not a ritual thing. It's a real thing. Save me, Lord. I'm lost. I don't know how to go. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to change. I don't know how to be holy. I'm coming to you. Save me. And he saves us. And he says, follow me. Follow me. And so we follow him. We listen to his voice. We walk the paths that he wants us to walk. We read his word. We learn about him. And as we learn about him, we know more what it is that he wants us to do and where he wants us to go. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. In Philippians chapter 2 is the best, the most well-known time when this is said. In verse 10 of Philippians chapter 2, now the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. He's gone up into heaven. He's seated at God's right hand. He's given a name which is above every name. It's now a complete fact that he is on God's highest throne and he is Lord over all. David says in the Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool. What does it mean that he is Lord? He is seated right now at God's right hand, waiting. Waiting for all the rebellion to be put down in this universe. Waiting for all the rebellion to be put down in your heart and in my heart. He's waiting until all the rebellion is finished. Right now, there are still many people who are rebelling against God. There are still people who call themselves Christian who are secretly in rebellion against God, unwilling to listen to his voice. And the Lord is patient and he's waiting. One day, he's going to stop waiting and he's going to call his people home. In one sense, I can't wait for that day to come, but in another sense, I'm glad that he is waiting. I'm glad that he is waiting because I have 6 children. 5 of those children have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The 6th one has prayed a prayer to do the same. But my wife and I are not sure if she is genuinely saved or not. We are not sure because we see the rebellion that is in her. And we see that she doesn't seem to care to listen to God's voice. And has no interest in the things of God, and so we wait patiently and are thankful that God is waiting patiently too. Waiting for all the rebellion to be put down, but one day he will wait no longer. So now's the time to come and bow the knee and to own him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord over all, whether people admit it or are willing to accept it or not. One day they will come before him and say, yes, it's true. You are the Lord. I couldn't beat you. I couldn't win. I couldn't rebel and get away with it. And they will bow the knee before they are sent to a lost eternity. But we today can own him as Lord. He wants to be first in your life and in my life. He doesn't want any rivals at all for the affections of our hearts. He wants to be supreme and surpassing all others. He wants to be the head of the church, but he wants to be the head of the believer, and he doesn't want any rivals in our hearts. You may remember the story of Abraham offering Isaac. What a very difficult thing that must have been for Isaac to do. To take his son, the fire and the wood and everything to prepare for an offering to the Lord. And Isaac at one point says, Father, we have everything but the lamb. And the father knew exactly what he was planning to do. He was planning to offer his son up as an offering to the Lord because that is what the Lord had asked him and told him to do. That must have been very hard. to give up the one that you love the most. There are many other stories like that in the Word of God. Essentially, God wants no rivalry for His affection in my heart and your heart. Every secret thing that we hold in our heart that we treasure, He wants to be surpassing that treasure. He doesn't want any rivalries for our affections. And so He demands complete surrender of our lives to Him. He wants to be Lord of every area of your life. You know, as I've grown in my Christian walk, I found it sometimes to be, it's hard to give up things that are important to us in our hearts. And I'm glad that God gives us wiggle room. I call it wiggle room. He's patient and kind and waiting for me to learn that there should be no rivalries in my heart for His affections. That He should be everything to me. I look at the glitter of the world and I get attracted to it. We all do. It's one of the things that happens. The world wants to pull us in. The world's system, the world's values, everything in the world. It says, what's wrong with these things? Go after it. Let your heart go after these things. There's nothing wrong with living in the world. We all have to live in the world. There's nothing wrong with owning things in the world. We all own things in this world. We have to live life. We have to have food and clothing and shelter and the rest of that. There's nothing wrong with these things. But Jesus Christ should trump all of them. He should be first completely in our lives. That if you had the world offered to you or Jesus Christ and nothing else, what would you pick? If you had a chance to be with Christ on a garbage dump and live there for the rest of your life, or a chance to live in a palace without Him, what would you choose? He wants no rivalries in your life. He wants to be first, surpassing all others. So He wants us to surrender ourselves to Him. We read in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. No other way of salvation, no rivalries. It's not me plus someone else or me plus something else. No, you can't work your way to heaven and have me at the same time, Jesus says. There is no other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. And you come and you acknowledge it and you come to Him. You surrender yourself to Him. He is not a great man among men. He far surpasses all men. He is the Son of God, the image of the invisible God. Believers are not to be proclaiming themselves. They're not to be proclaiming a way of life. Believers do not promote their achievements. Believers proclaim God, who despite rebellion still loves His creation and offers them a way of salvation. We are to surrender to Him. So He is to be Lord of our whole life, not just our religious life. So we give Him Sunday. We give Him Wednesday evening. We give Him 5 minutes of our time each day as we read or have a quiet time or read His Word. So that's our religious life. He wants to be Lord, of course, of our religious life, but more than that, He wants our whole life to be transformed by Christ. He wants to be Lord of our bodies, Lord of our minds, Lord of our will. He wants us to get to a point where we say His will. Seriously, His will, not mine, be done. That I am willing to give up my will for Him. When I got married, before I got married, I had made a decision to read as many books as possible. Because I knew that one day I would be married and I would have less time for reading. And after I got married, I kept reading because I knew one day there would be children and there would be no time for reading. And I love reading. And so I did that. The day came when the children came, I haven't read a book in a really long time. Now that because we have technology here and I can have books on the computer and on the phone, I can read a lot more than I used to. But before that, I didn't read at all. The things that I loved started to go to the wayside. I loved camping. I didn't do it very often, but I still loved it. I remember one time I invited a man when I was in university to go to a Christian retreat, and he said to me, I'm never going to go to those Christian retreats and spend time with those Christians. The only way you're going to get me to go is if you go camping with me. And so I said, sure. This guy was an expert camper. And so while the Christians were in their comfortable cabins, he and I went off into the dark, and we, without a tent or anything, and slept outside and had our meals outside and did things like that. And I often said to myself, when I get married, I want my wife and I to go camping, but my wife wasn't a camper, and I quickly came to realize that. I said, well, when my children grow, I want to go camping with them, but it just never seemed to happen. And so I have ideas and things that I love, but they're not as important to me anymore. I'm concerned about my wife, about my children. They're more important to me than my will, what I want for my life. When we come to Jesus Christ, it is the same thing. We learn, not my will, but His be done in my life. He wants to guide me out of sin. So I need to listen to Him. I say, let's go this way, and the Lord says, no, let's go this way. You know, He promises never to leave me and never to forsake me. That's a wonderful thing. And so each morning I get up and I'll go my way. I have my job, I have my schooling, I have my things to do. And the Lord goes wherever I go. I suppose He's not happy with all the paths that I choose to walk on. And He waits patiently, wondering if I'm ever going to wake up one morning and say, Lord, where do You want to go today? Not my will today, but Yours be done. Where do you want to go? And He says, I know some paths of righteousness. I want to lead you in those paths. I want to take you in this direction and go in this way for you. We are to say, not my will, but His be done. You know, that's a very difficult thing to say. That is a really difficult thing to say. We all have ambitions. We all have dreams. And we're afraid that if we give them up and let and do only what the Lord wants, He's going to give us a miserable life. But it's a lie from Satan. He doesn't want to give us a miserable life. He wants to give us the best life, an abundant life, a life of joy, a life of satisfaction, and a life of peace. That's what He wants to do. He wants to lead us out of sin. He wants to make us holy. He wants to prepare us for an eternity with Him. And so we should listen to Him. Every area of our lives, we ought to give it to Him. Our emotions. Sometimes our emotions will lead us in one direction. That could be a direction of sin. Or it could be a direction of selfishness. And oftentimes our emotion leads us. You know, Disney says it this way. You know, it talks about the heart. You know, follow your heart. And it's the way of the world to just, whatever you feel is right, well, that's the way you go. It's hard to give that up. Let the Lord lead you. There was a time when the Lord was hungry. And Satan came to Him and said, you know, make these stones, make them bread. You can do that. You're the Son of God. You can change these stones into bread like that. Jesus responds and says, man shall not live by bread alone. How should a man live? He was hungry. He knew he could have changed those stones into bread. And it was the desire of the heart, perhaps the emotions that would want to fulfill a satisfaction of hunger. And yet Jesus says, man shouldn't live that way. How should he live? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, we are to live according to the word of God. We are to read it, listen to it, and follow it. We are to say, not my will, but His be done. This is a really hard thing. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve chose their will. The Lord Jesus was the only one who perfectly said, not my will. He came to do the Father's will. And that's what Jesus Christ wants for us right now. He wants to lead us in our lives. But to do that, we need to bow to Him. Let Him do the work He wants to do in your life and in my life. The work is not always pleasant, the work that He needs to do. It's not always pleasant, but it has a particularly pleasant end. Because He's working out all things according to His purposes to give us the end that He wants for each of us. He is Lord over all. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Outwardly, we can say we follow Him. That's wonderful. But in your heart, and in your mind, and in mine, the secret places which no one else sees, are you following Him? Or are you following your own ambitions and your own ways? Let's pray. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask that You would simply take some of these things that were mentioned today and keep them in remembrance to those that need to remember something. We pray, Lord, that You would be glorified in our lives and that we would yield more and more of our hearts, of our lives, of ourselves to You. We're thankful that You are patient, giving us wiggle room, helping us and also teaching us, allowing us to learn lessons that we need to learn in life, until we come to the point where we honestly are able to say, not my will, but Yours be done. We pray that in this assembly, Your will would be done. We pray that in our lives, Your will would be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.